Greetings, beloved, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Are you also glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Tell your neighbor, greet your neighbor, and tell your neighbor, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. When we're singing that song, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, just asking myself, how much of that do we believe? Amen. So where you may not be seeing a way, where you may not be seeing a light, how often do you sing that song as your confession and your declaration of faith? Amen. And when you feel like giving up or you're getting tired on believing God for something, how often do you say, Lord, you are a promise keeper? Amen. Because they should not just be songs. We should live what we say. And we should keep on declaring it. Amen. As an introduction, I just want to ask maybe just two things for you to think about. One, any human being should think about, where will I spend eternity? Will I spend eternity with God, or will I spend eternity in hell? That's a question that every living human being should ask him or herself. It doesn't matter how life is going and how fast we are and all that, the Lord is coming back. Amen. And you better be ready. And even in church, when we teach you faith, we teach you all the things, but the goal is we know the Lord is coming back. And when he comes back, will he find you ready? And are you ready for his coming? Are you ready for his coming? Amen. Or you want him to wait a little bit? At least you can ask him to wait, not because you're not ready, because better be ready. Amen. The second question is usually for all of us. I'm not sure in your own Christian life, because when the Lord comes back, we'll have to reckon to him and give account on how we live the life here on earth. So that would he be able to say, well done, you good and faithful servant? Do you think you are living to your maximum capacity of what the Lord wants you to do? So in our Christian walk, you would find that there are some Christians who are very serious, and others who are just a little bit serious, and others who just go to church, others who they go to church on occasions, others, just live like the world. People would even be surprised when they find you in church. You see all those. So you need to always ask yourself, am I growing? Am I in another level today with the Lord than where I was yesterday? So I want us to start from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, before I introduce what we're going to share about, because this is very encouraging to me. Ezekiel 47, from 1 to 9. So last week, Pastor Josephine introduced another reader among us. So I will alternate the readers. Amen. So we'll start with Mr. MJ and go to Mr. Mukosi, back to Mr. MJ. Just see how that combination works. Amen. So Mr. MJ, let's start with Ezekiel 47, 1 to 9, Amplified Classic.
Then he, my guide, brought me again to the door of the house of the Lord, the temple. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple was towards the east, and the waters came down from under and from the right side of the temple on the south side of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around outside to the outer gate by the way that faces east. And behold, waters were running out on the right side. And when the man went on eastward with the measuring line in his hand, He measured 1,000 cubits, and he caused me to pass through the waters, waters that were ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits and caused me to pass through the waters, waters that reached to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits and caused me to pass through the waters, waters that reached the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the waters had risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over or through. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he led me and caused me to return to the bank of the river. Now, when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, "These waters pour out towards the eastern region and go down into the Arabah, the Jordan Valley, and on into the Dead Sea. And when they shall enter into the sea of putrid waters, the waters shall be healed and made fresh. And wherever the double river shall go, every living creature which swarms shall live. And there shall be a very great number of fish, because these waters go there, that waters of the sea may be healed and made fresh. And everything shall live wherever the river goes."
Amen. Did you hear that narrative? So he says, I want you to think of this as your Christian walk with the Lord. He said, "My guide took me through, and there was water trickling, starting from the temple to the eastern side. He measured 1,000 cubits, and he made me to walk through that water, and waters were to the ankle." Now, let's get deeper. He measured, that's how you get deeper. You don't get deeper the other way. He measured another 1,000, and then waters were up to the knees. Then he measured another 1,000, and waters came to the loins or waist. He measured another 1,000, and it was a river that could not be crossed. Okay, so let's just start with that. What do you see there? Do you see growth? Amen? Do you see him moving from one level to another? So it means, even in your Christian walk, you might just be staying at the ankle deep, but there is much more. Tell your neighbor, there is much more. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't settle there. Amen. So in other words, you need to keep on getting deeper, getting deeper, getting deeper. But what I like is that at the end, this became a river. And he says, this river, wherever this river goes, there will be life. And he starts by giving an example of this river passing through the desert. It says, this river passed, coming to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, they say, it's a swampy place where the waters don't flow. So there is no life. But when the river comes there, the waters are healed. And there, life begins. Okay? I want to think of this even in your own situation. That in your growth with God, in your walk with God, there would be times when you are just measuring things and going just what is befitting for you and all that. But you need to grow to that level where now you have to start to be a blessing even to other people. Where when you come to a dead place, where when you come to people who were quitting and wanted to give up, may that river touch them. Amen? May you be a conduit of God's power. Amen. So today I want us to talk about the power of God. Amen? So, it's not, God is not limited. We are the ones who limit ourselves. So if that man, when they were measuring and it was up to the ankle, if he wanted to stay there, he could have remained there. So it means even among us here, there may be others who are not even in that water yet. You may be in church, but you haven't even experienced salvation. Some of you, ankle deep, others knee deep, others waist. But can we keep on growing to an extent that things don't just end with us, we now become a blessing wherever we go. We now start giving life wherever we go. We start, when we come to every situation, hopeless places, we give life. It says wherever the river goes, there will be life. But if you look at this, I want you to go to the book of John chapter 7. I want to explain this river. Okay? Because the good thing with being a teacher of the word, then you need to explain scripture with scripture. Amen? So I want to explain this river. And using this portion of scripture in John, chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, Amplified Classic, Mr. Mukosi, AMPC. So it means, we talked about, in your relationship with God, ankle deep, knee deep, waist high, and then we talk about the river that flows. And wherever this river goes, there will be life. So I want you to see that even in our walk with God, after you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit in you. That's like a well. A well, it's for personal use. But it's not enough just to have the Holy Spirit in me. It's good when I have the Holy Spirit in me, because that ministers to me. But that water needs to spring up and become now a river. If you look at that Ezekiel, he started by defining it as water, trickling water, water, water. And then later you hear the word river. Did you see that in Ezekiel? It did not start as river. Where we read earlier, it says the water was flowing, trickling. And actually it was this, that, that, that. And as this water was going, it ultimately became a river that could not be crossed. And it became a river that could go to many places and start being a blessing. Now, let's explain that with John 7, 37 to 39, Amplified Classic.
Now, on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living waters." But he was speaking here from the Spirit, whom those who believed, trusted, and had faith in him were afterwards to receive. For the Holy Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified, raised to honor.
So did I explain the river? Okay, let's look at it in John. So he says, Jesus says, "He who is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." So we all have to start by drinking from the well, from Jesus, from the source of life. Okay? Now, if you haven't come to the Lord yet, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior yet, you will remain thirsty. You can try drugs, you can try alcohol, you can try whatever, you will always have the void. Amen? Yeah, when people are on drugs, alcohol, or other things, they are searching for something that will quench the thirst. But Jesus says, you can only have your thirst quenched, if you come to me and drink. How many of you are witnesses that you don't crave? Actually, you even think, how does alcohol taste? Probably it should be bitter, that stuff. Some of them, when they do it, then you think, why would they still keep on doing it? So you start not understanding it, because now you have tasted something. You've tasted the rivers, the water that Jesus gives. Amen? And now you are satisfied. You don't even feel like you are craving for other things. He says that's the starting point. "He who is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." But after you have drank that water, what now start happening in you? So now you have a spring. a well. Other versions will use the term a well. It's in John 4. It talks about a well springing up to eternal life. Okay? So, you come to the Lord, you taste the goodness of God, and you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He quenches your thirst. Now, you start having that well within you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. Okay? But in this verse here, it says that spring, it also becomes a river. Did you see that? He says springs and rivers of living water. So a spring is like a fountain. It's contained in a place. It's for personal use. Okay? But a river is not contained. How many of you know that the river is not contained? A river may pass through here in Eerste River, but that river may be going. We don't even see where it's going. Okay? So it means when I now have this personal encounter with God, he doesn't want it to end there. He wants his power to flow through me and start touching lives. So that wherever I go, there will be life. But I want you to understand this, because even when we're singing that song, Waymaker, miracle worker, light in the darkness. Okay, Waymaker, he said, thank you, it's you, Lord. Light in the darkness, thank you, it's you, Lord. But he uses us. He said, you are the light of the world. Okay? When you say miracle worker, how many of you know that God cannot work miracles without you? He needs a human being. So it means his power is already there. How much of that power are you tapping into? You get that? You need to ask yourself these questions, because even for me, being a pastor, I keep on growing. I keep on saying, Lord, I want more of you. So the Bible says, blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You need to keep on being hungry and thirsty for more of the Lord so that you can experience more of him. Now, if I've got the Holy Spirit in me as a well, I also need another experience in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Mr. MJ, Amplified Classic. So, Acts 1, 8. So, in John, we started with the Holy Spirit as a well within me. And by the way, as a child of God, before you ask others, prophesy, prophesy, men of God, you can also start by hearing God in you with that well. And let a prophecy come to confirm what the well has already started hinting to you. Amen? That's how you judge prophecy. And also let that prophecy align with the word. Amen? Now, after that first encounter of the Holy Spirit in me, every child of God, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. But that's not enough. The Holy Spirit in you, it's not sufficient to make you go and minister. It's for personal use. Now, let's read Acts 1:8 Amplified Classic.
But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth.
Okay, I want to ask you a question. Can you see the river flowing? Where did this river start? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. Did you see that? So he says, you shall be my witnesses. You will keep on moving. So, actually, he had said to them, wait until you are empowered from on high. Before you go to minister, first receive. So here he talks about the Holy Spirit where? It's when the Holy Spirit has come where? Upon. Okay? Not in. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you or on you, it's not the Holy Spirit in. Okay? You getting that? So there is the Holy Spirit in me, but when the Holy Spirit empowers me, when I'm anointed, is the Holy Spirit upon me. When you are empowered, and now, Mr. MJ, I want you to read, because that word power, because today when we're going to talk about the power of God, I want you to understand how great this power is. Okay? Then you will no longer be afraid of the enemy. So that word power, in original Greek, they say the word used there was the word dunamis. Okay? You, that's the word where we get words like dynamo, dynamite. So, and you can see in brackets, the translator of Amplified Classic, he tried to use ability, efficiency, might. So maybe, Mr. MJ, when you read, but you shall receive power, in brackets, you need to say dynamite, ability, efficiency, might. So insert that word dynamite, because we understand dynamite more than we understand the word power. So if I tell you, you've got the power, yes, you've got the power. But if I say, you've got a dynamite, it's a different mindset. Okay? So tell us, Mr. MJ. There in brackets include the word dynamite.
But you shall receive power, dynamite, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end, the very bounds of the earth.
Okay. Now for this river to flow without any fear, you need a dynamite. Okay? Because as you're ministering the gospel, there would even be places where you go where you may feel fearful. Okay? So now when you have received that power, you have received the power of the Holy Ghost upon you, then the dynamite, I like to have a dynamite, man. So even when there seems to be no way, you know when they make tunnels, it means at first they went there and they wanted to make a road. But there is no way. So what do you need? Dynamite. And make a way where there seems to be no way. So that obstacle, those mountains that are ahead of you, don't you think the dynamite has come in handy? Eh? I've got the power. Amen? I've got the power to go through this. So usually if you are facing that challenge, if you are facing that, if you can't go over it, if you can't go around it, you've got to go through. And when you break through, it means you are opening up ways, even when the enemy was blocking your way, because you have the power. So I want you to understand this power of God so that we can use it here on earth. Because that power, God has intended for us to use it. Do you sometimes do like me? You read the Bible and you see how Jesus walked on earth in power, healing the sick, casting out devils. Never hear a day when Jesus was sick and hospitalized. And you say, I think we like that. You hear about how Paul was mightily used by God. I think I like that. You even go to guys in the Old Covenant. Look at people like Elisha, all those. And actually, yeah, during the week I was reading something and I read something about Elisha's bones. So they say Elisha, after he died, I mean, he was mightily used by God, but then after he died, yeah, his bones were so powerful that they said people were coming, you know, like in graveyards. Usually you're coming to bury somebody else, you're coming this. Then something scared them. Some people were threatening them. So they dropped their dead body into the bones of Elisha as they wanted to run away. And the Bible says that man came back to life. Amen. Amen. So imagine such power. Amen. And we ask ourselves, are we walking in the fullness of that power? Because we are living like people of the world, we are limited in our thinking. We've got to start thinking like God himself. To say that is the power that is available to us. Can I show you that power is available to you? Mr. Mukosi, you go to first to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 in the Passion Translation, TPT. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. I want you to look at that power being available to each one of us if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because now you have a dynamite. You can make a way where there is no way. But also wherever you go, you bring life. You bring the flavor of God. You bring a change. You bring hope. You've got neighbors maybe who are always fighting. By the way, if you are a Christian couple, you need to lead by example. You can't always be fighting and neighbors even get surprised. Ah, hey, next door. Hey, but they say they are Christian. Hey, but we can hear. Zikovuya. You can do better than that. You are a child of God. Amen? You need to know how to have self-control. You are a child of God. You've got the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. You can't talk to your husband like that. You can't treat your wife like that. Let the fruit of the Spirit come forth. And show that kindness, show that gentleness. Because you are a child of God. Amen. So now, actually, instead of showing the power of God, people usually show the power of the enemy. Have you heard people saying, Udondiva, he will know me. He does not know me. He sees me being quiet and he's taking advantage of me. I'm going to show him who I am. Imagine you were to say, they will know the Lord. I'm going to show them who the Lord is. That should be your language. Not Udondiva. They will know me. They keep on taking advantage of me. I'm also a human being. I've got blood. Don't try to justify anger and fighting with people. Just fight with them without justifying it. Saying I also have blood. What does that have to do with self-control? Amen? Yeah, so we need to know how to relate with each other, even with our children. How you rebuke them. Yes, we need to correct them. But you can't do it in a way that like you abusing them and kicking them around, clapping them and all that. That's not how you do it. Amen? So, you need actually to display the power of God, not the power of the enemy. Now look at this. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, Passion Translation.
I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available through faith. Then your life will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supremacy and supreme authority in the heavenly realm.
Okay. So I want you to look at Paul's prayer. Okay? So he says, I pray that you will continually experience what? The immeasurable greatness of God's power. So he says, the power of God is so great that it's immeasurable. It's unlimited. But this power is not just residing with God as a miracle worker. Where is that power? It's made available. Yeah, you need to reread for them. The power made available to who?
To you through faith.
Yeah, tell your neighbor, the power is made available to you. By the way, do you know that when something is made available to you, you can use it or not use it? You have been given a dynamite, you can use it or not use it. So he says, I'm praying that you continually, because I can see that you don't see the power that is in you. You don't see what you are holding in your hand. As a child of God, you are thinking like people of the world. You are limited like people of the world, but you've got something in you. I pray that your eyes may be opened, that you may continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power available to you through faith. Now, if you experience that, what will your lives be like? Your life will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. Did you see that? Yeah. So your life doesn't have to be an advertisement of a victim. You know, like some people, you know, this the world is tough. Life is tough, man, my brother. Life is tough. That's an advertisement of defeat. Okay? But it says, if we receive this immeasurable power, if we understand what God has invested in us, then our lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through me. So now, I want you to look at this. This power is first available to me. It's made available. Then this power can work for me. When I say waymaker, miracle worker, when I confess the word, get that, use my faith, that's the power made available to me, and I'm using it. But here, in advertising, it becomes the power working through you. If you read there, it's not the power that is at work in you. So there is the power that's at work in me, okay? Well, but here it says, as it works through you. So when last did the power work through you? Okay, maybe let's not start there. When last did the power work in you or for you? Because you need to start there. You know, many people want to go out and minister when they can't even minister to themselves. Huh? You're starting to give somebody a word. I've got a word for you, my brother. You don't have a word for yourself and you've got a word for me. Start practicing your hearing God with yourself as a well. Because it cannot become a river unless it started as a well. It's God to start as a well and grow to become a river. Do you get that? So he says this power is available to us. It's the power that we can use for ourselves. But it's also the power that should be used through us. So it's not enough just to have this power. I use it for myself. I want the power that is in me to go out and touch lives out there. I want to come and say, those who are sick will lay hands on you. Those who believe will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Amen? Because now the power is working through me. It's not my power, it's God's power. But it's working through me. So, Mr. MJ, so if you read it in the message, you continue that to verse 20 to 23, that Ephesians 1, then you will see that the power is available, is great, is mighty, is immense, and we like saying, God is the Almighty. God has got all the might. He's the Almighty. And do you know that he has made that power available to us? Because he cannot exercise that power without a human being on earth. You remember the other time it was saying, surely the sovereign Lord can do nothing on earth unless he uses his servants, unless he goes through them. Amen. So it means if I receive that power, it works for me, but it also has got to go and work and touch lives. Start making, touching lives. Let other people start experiencing God through your life. Be a refreshing to people. Amen? Be a source of life to people. You know that if you yourself do not see light and you are depressed, you will speak words that will also contaminate others and depress others. There are people that if you are with them just for 5 minutes, it's like you've been there for an hour. All the complaints. Every time this person... So such people, avoid them. If you see them coming this way, save yourself. Amen? But there should also be people who You feel like, I want to keep on hearing. You hear this person for 5 minutes and you think, for an hour and you think it's only 5 minutes. May you continue, please. I need more of that. Because my spirit is getting encouraged. Amen? So now, reading the message from 20 to 23. Because we want to see this power. How does God's power work on earth? Because it's very easy for us to just say, God, nothing is impossible with God. God has all the power. But Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And when the other time when we were sharing about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we said the kingdom of God comes on earth as we exercise God's power on earth. Read.
All this energy issues from Christ.
Hmm.
God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven.
So this power starts from Christ to us.
In charge of running the universe.
You see, what this power that Jesus has given us has the ability to do? In charge of running the universe.
Everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule.
Okay, so we've got names. We've got a name like cancer, we've got a name like HIV, we've got a name like any other name that you are afraid of. We've got a name like accident. We have a name like death. We've got a name like poverty. We've got a name, whatever thing that is threatening you, it says no name is exempted from his rule. Every knee should bow to the name of Jesus. Continue.
And not just for the time being, but forever.
Amen.
He is in charge of it all. Has the final word on everything.
I like it when Jesus has the final. Who has the final say? So maybe the pastor didn't use the right tune. Can somebody ask? Because I see you can't get in. Can somebody ask that question in that song way? Who can put a better tune than the pastor? Because people couldn't join. The finance. Oh, so it was just not my voice. They are just not getting in. Yeah. So it was not me. I thought it was my tune. So you just not seeing who has the final say. So this verse here, it says he has the final word on everything. So in other words, the devil is not allowed to speak last. Tell your neighbor, the devil is not allowed to have a final say. Even your situation is not allowed to have a final say. Amen. Jehovah has the final say. He is in charge of running the universe. And it's you who need to say, it's not over until the Lord has spoken. It's not over until this situation complies with what God has said. Amen. So he is in charge of everything. And he has the final say.
At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence.
Yeah, I want you to repeat that last sentence. I want you to tell us what is the church. Because some of you see, I'm trying to transition from this power, immeasurable power of God, to say that power is actually supposed to work in us and through us. So just read that last sentence again.
The church is Christ's body in which he speaks.
Okay. So if I say Jesus is speaking, Jesus is powerful, he does it through what?
The church.
Through the church. He speaks through the church. He acts through the church. He heals through the church. He saves through the church. He blesses people through the church. Amen. So that's how we experience God's power. That's how we make the power of God available. not only to us, but also to others. But if we don't understand that, we'll keep on saying, God has all the power. God is the Almighty. But how does that might of God become real in my life? Amen? So if we understand that this power is made available to us through faith, and He wants this power to even flow through our lives and touch other people's lives, He wants our lives to be an advertisement of the kingdom. You see, an advertisement, an advert, usually it's when you want some people to buy what you are showing. So do you think anybody would want to buy defeat? No. Even if it's a discount. Defeat we don't buy. So you can't advertise defeat and think people will buy. We advertise the power of God. We advertise the joy of the Lord. And you say, I've got joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. And you say, I know the devil doesn't like it, but it's down in my heart. Down in my heart. You see, so somebody then says, oh, I've never seen the pastor depressed. Then it means I'm making a good advertisement. Amen? You see, we think we like what that person has. It's as if he doesn't live on this earth. Then that's a good advertisement. Amen? Because we need to advertise the kingdom of God. We need to show what God has in store for His people. And this power, don't doubt it. So Mr. Mkosi, go for us in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, the Passion Translation, TPT, Ephesians 3:20. I want you not to doubt this power of God. Because if you know this power, that Paul prayed that our eyes should be open to know this power, and you use this power as a well, a power on your own life, but also able to use this power to touch other people's lives. So I want us to take those two things. Is this power available for me to use for my own personal use? But also this power available to use to touch other people's lives as a river that flows. And wherever the river goes, there will be life. So it means as we're moving, I'll keep on touching these two aspects. The power in your own life and the power through your life.
Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this.
Okay. Never doubt, tell your neighbor, never doubt,
never doubt.
God's mighty power, to work in you. Don't doubt it. Whether you're sick, whether you are facing those challenges, don't doubt God's dynamite. It's proven to work. The word of God, the elder the other time, he was staring and said, the word of God is tested and tried. It works. Continue.
He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination.
Oh, He will exceed even your wildest imagination. So tell your neighbor, dream big.
Dream big.
Amen. Because some people say, oh no, you better watch out, you better be careful. You will be disappointed. So He says He will exceed what I even ask, what I even think of, even my wildest imagination. Because His power is unlimited. Continue.
He will outdo them all.
He will outdo them all.
For His miraculous power constantly energizes you.
Oh, okay. So He will outdo them all because His power constantly energizes me. So His power is always at work in me. Okay? I'll give you something, a scripture that actually we can go there, Mr. MJ, in Romans 8:11, King James Version, KJV, Romans 8:11. So He says, this power energizes me. I always think of it this way, that if the power of Jesus is in my body, if this body of mine is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the power of Jesus is flowing through my body, and there is sickness somewhere here, what do you think will happen to that sickness when the power comes? It should melt and dissolve and go away. Amen? Because that power is at work in me now. If you feel like, let's say you are a bit depressed and you are stressed and all that, and that power is flowing through that head, and the word of God is giving you hope, there's no room for that stress. Amen? Because that power is working in you. So I always think of it that way. I think of it, imagine if maybe in your lungs, they say there's pneumonia, they say there's a germ. There's a germ trying to eat your lungs or whatever. And now that power is flowing through your body. That dynamite is flowing through your body. Nothing can stand in the way of God's power. So I want you to read that Romans 8:11, King James Version.
But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
You see what his spirit does? His spirit that is in me quickens my mortal body. So when this body is getting, it's attacked and wants to be sick, the spirit in me quickens it, gives it life. Amen. So I used to confess this even throughout the COVID pandemic. In our family, we had a confession, a declaration. We'd say, coronavirus has got no power over this body. Amen. The life of Jesus flows through my body. Disease, germs, and viruses have got no power over this body. This body is not the temple of illness. It's not the temple of sickness. It's not temple of disease, germs. It's not temple of any other thing, but it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Yeah, and we refused to contract that thing called COVID. Yes. You say, no, maybe it was just a coincidence. Why do all these coincidences only start taking place after we have confessed the word? So there should be something. There should be something, because these coincidences, they wait for me to exercise my faith and then they are coincidences. No, it cannot be. Amen. And if you want to see, you just check those who live by faith. Those who exercise, by the way, in this world, we all can be attacked. The enemy is out there to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But you need to take authority. Okay? You say, in my life, this is what would be. I want the life of Jesus to be manifested in my mortal flesh. I want the life of Jesus to flow through my body. So 2 Corinthians 4:11, I'll read it in New King James Version. It says, for we are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So I want the life of Jesus to be manifested in my mortal flesh. I want the life of Jesus just to flow through me, to flow through me. But do you know how we make that life to be manifested? It doesn't just work by saying, I want the life to be manifested, when you are exposing yourself to many other things. Okay? If you are hearing a lot of things that brings fear to you, you are watching a lot of things that make you depressed, there's no way that that power will work for you. This power works for us and transforms us as we spend time in God's power. Because the Bible in the book of, we won't read this one also, Romans 1:16, it says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The word of God is the power of God. So when we're talking about the power of God, we get that power from the word. So as you take the word of God and embrace that word, you have embraced the power. And I want to show you how this power works in your body and through your body. Okay? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Mr. MJ will do it in the voice. 2 Corinthians 3:18, voice translation. I like this one because we may all desire to walk in God's power. We may all wish for success in life. But there is a recipe for success. You remember what the word says to Joshua? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. So you get that success, you get that prosperity through the word. Through diligently following the word of the Lord our God and making that word part of you. Now, I want to show you this secret, which is a very easy secret to understand. But I want you to understand it well from the voice translation in 2 Corinthians 3:18. I want you to look at how the power of God can ultimately become the power in me and the power through me. Read.
Now, all of us, with our faces unveiled, reflect the glory of the Lord as if we are mirrors. And so, we are being transformed, metamorphosed into his same image from one radiance of glory to another, just as the Spirit of the Lord accomplishes it.
Okay, so if you didn't understand it, let me explain it for you. He says, we reflect the glory of the Lord as if we are mirrors. Okay, why I like it in the voice. So if I've got a mirror here, so think of a mirror. Okay? You see in a mirror what is in front of the mirror. The mirror cannot reflect anything unless that which was placed before it. Okay? So he says, we are like mirrors. Okay? We reflect the glory of the Lord as mirrors. It means what was hitting me if I reflect the glory now. It was the glory. And now I reflect it. And he says, when that is happening, so let's say I take the word. I want to show you this. I take the word because I'm a mirror and I want to reflect healing. And on the word there is healing in the word. Okay? So, Isaiah 53 verse 5. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we being dead to sin, 1 Peter 2:24, we being dead to sin would live unto righteousness of Christ, by whose stripes we were healed. Now I look at that and say, oh, I'm already healed. But my body doesn't feel like healed. But God's word is true. God's word says I'm healed. Now, you know what I'm doing? I'm looking at this word, and this word, I'm absorbing it. Look at it and look. Oh, there's another scripture that says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. He heals all your diseases. Now, I'm before that. And if I'm a mirror, what am I going to reflect? The word. So now that word that says, I'm healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, becomes manifested in my body. So it transforms my body. It metamorphoses my body to be there like the word. I want you to get this. It should be easy. Okay. So you're in front of the word that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. Okay? And my situation was lack. But if I'm now in front of the word that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack, what should happen to my situation? It must be transformed. It must be metamorphosed to that image. And I reflect the word. You get that? Let me try again. Because it seems you're not getting it, but you need to get it. He says, we are like mirrors. We reflect the glory of God. And we are being transformed or metamorphosed. It means the state that I was in is not what I want. But there is a word now here that I want to reflect. So that word now has got to transform and metamorphose my situation to be like the word. So if my body is feeling pain, if my body is sick, and I go to that word that says, by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, I'm healed, that word now transforms or metamorphoses my situation to change, to be like the word, and now I reflect healing. You're getting that? So what doesn't work is, yeah, if I'm sick, I'm sick, Pastor. That doesn't metamorphose anything. That doesn't transform anything. Okay? Because that word metamorphosis, you remember with, again, yesterday when we were talking about, with the membership class, I was telling them some of us, we schooled, we were taught through Bantu education. So we used to do like ex, lover, pupa, adult. Ex, lover, pupa, adult. And we passed. And we are where we are today. So you might say that thing was not working, but we made maximum use of it. So that was, they called that metamorphosis. So when you see the pupa or you see the adult butterfly, it doesn't look like the egg because it has been metamorphosed. So what do you want? Ask your neighbor, what do you want to be metamorphosed in your life? What do you want to be transformed in your life? Go and get the word that will transform it. Go and get the word that will metamorphose it, so that then you can reflect that which the word says. I am what God's word says I am. I have what God's word says I have. Okay? So as we begin our descent, let me take Mark chapter 5. Now I want to show you this. When that word is metamorphosing me, when that word is transforming my life, when that word is living in me, it can also touch others. Okay? But it's got to be in me. That power has got to be in me. Now I'll read for the sake of time, Mark 5, 25 to 34, New King James Version. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So I want you to look at this woman as somebody who was hopeless. She tried everything. She went to all the doctors of the time, and she had this bleeding problem and it could not be solved. She even spent everything she had, no solution. Okay? I want to see how that river works. I want to see how that power works. Okay? It says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. You see her faith? Yeah. Some of you would have said, maybe it's not God's will. That's why for all these years, 12 years, with this sickness, this is my portion in life. That's not how you get healed. You don't get healed by trying to justify sickness. You know, this diabetes, you know, in our family, it started with my grandfather. Even my cousin had it. And this and this. You don't get healed that way. That's the recipe for keeping the sickness. Okay? If you want to get healed, you need to do like this woman with the issue of blood. She didn't say anything about, you know, all these doctors, they ripped me off. They took all my money, and now things are not getting, I'm keeping on blaming and all that. She said, no, now I heard something that I didn't know before. I heard there is Jesus, and his power can make me whole. If I can just touch his garment, I will be made well. If I can just touch his garment, and there was a crowd of people, if I can just touch his garment, I will be made well. If I can just touch his garment, I will be made well. Imagine, crowd, and then she keeps on saying that. Now, look. Immediately, where is that? When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I can only touch his garment, I shall be made well. So when she touched his garment, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? I want you to look at this, refer to the river that I talked about earlier. When this river goes to the Dead Sea, it brings life. Now, this woman goes and touches the power. Jesus, how many of you know that Jesus did not decide to release the power that day? Jesus did not decide to heal that woman. Actually, that woman could have been healed and disappeared if Jesus didn't keep on asking. Okay? She decided There is power here. I know there is power here. There is a dynamite here. I know there is a river that flows. And this river, I want it to touch my dead situation and make me whole. If I can just touch his garment, I will be made whole. And she went, touched, and then she was made whole immediately. Everything that troubled her for 12 years stopped right on the spot. Why? Because of the power of God. Now, this power, we were told it's available to us also. So, it was on the, in the body of Jesus, but it helped people. Now, let's read Acts 19, 11 and 12, Amplified Classic. So, it's the same thinking of that power and how that power then flows. Acts 19, 11 and 12, Amplified Classic, I'll read it. And God did unusual and extraordinary miracles. How? How did God do the miracles? You remember we were singing earlier, miracle waker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. So how does the miracle worker work miracles? And God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So if God wants to do miracles today, Paul is not here. So, miracle worker. So the miracle worker wants to work miracles. Amen. He's got to do it through our hands. Amen. Amen. Yes, God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. God does unusual and extraordinary miracles by my hands. Can you tell your neighbor, God does unusual and extraordinary miracles by my hands. You say, Lord, use me for your glory. Amen. We need to avail ourselves. God is looking for vessels that he can use. So that when you sing that song, miracle worker. He can't just work a miracle without a vessel. Amen. He says, so that handkerchiefs or towels or aprons, which he had touched. Now look, that river. This river is surprising. So, the garment of Jesus had touched Jesus' body and then the garment. And when they touched the garment, she was made whole. Now, the handkerchiefs and towels and aprons which had touched the skin of Paul, when they were carried out to the sick people got healed. Do you see how this power is working? Can you see how this power is working?
Amen.
Even demons were cast out. They would take that piece of cloth and come to those people who were demon possessed, and they would be healed because of transference of that power. So it means, as I link this, because we're landing now, I want to equate this with the verse I read earlier in the voice, which says we are transformed, metamorphosed into the same image. So I like giving this example, especially for children, Sunday school children. If you take a magnet, you take the speaker has got a magnet inside there. You take a piece of steel and you rub it on that magnet. That steel becomes magnetic. And do you know that steel, without the magnet, it also becomes like a magnet? Eh? You can go and pick things now using the power that's transferred from this magnet to this steel. But have you seen the trick? Did you know that if this steel keeps on working alone without the original magnet, what happens? It loses its magnetism. So tell your neighbor, keep rubbing on with the word of God. So that power will keep on flowing. Because some of you want the power to flow. Now, you see, we taught you how to rub that magnet. Now you're picking things. But now you're not going back to, now it's no longer working. Now you're surprised. No, you lost touch with the original magnet. That power was not emanating from you. That power was emanating from the original magnet. So it means even the power that is in us is not our own power. So it means I need to keep connected to the power so that that power can keep on flowing through my life. Amen. 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 So let that power keep on flowing. But it can only keep on flowing if you stay connected. That's why Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. If you are disconnected from the power, you can do nothing. Amen. So let me land with Luke 10, 18 and 19, Passion, and Mark 16, 20, and I'll read them for the sake of time. And we're landing with these two scriptures because I want you to understand this power of God, and that God has given us this power and He wants us to use it. He doesn't want you to be afraid of the enemy. He wants you to be your life to be an advertisement of God's power, of God's kingdom. Luke 10, 18 and 19 in the Passion. Jesus replied, while you were ministering, you know when we minister, Jesus says, while you were ministering, I watched Satan topple until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. Now you understand that I have imparted to you my authority to trample over his kingdom. So in other words, whatever you're doing against the kingdom of the devil is because you are using my authority. Stay connected to me. That magnet, magnetism that you are so proud of and you are rejoicing about is because of the authority I gave you. So stay attached to me so that you can keep on dispensing my power to my people. May that river continue to flow and touch people. And then he says, you will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. That sounds like you've got a dynamite. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, absolutely nothing will harm you when you walk in the authority of God. Amen. Nothing will harm you when you walk in that authority. Mark 16:20 NIV. Landing with that one. So that will be a challenge also for us. I've given you this word the way that the Lord has laid it in my heart. But it doesn't end here. We need to go out. So this power is working in us, but it also needs to be a river that keeps on flowing. Then the disciples went out. And that's what we will do. And preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So miracle worker, promise keeper is waiting for us to be available that he can use us to dispense his power to his people. We can stand up and thank God for the word that we've heard. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you.